All right. Well, welcome, folks. We're so glad you are here. If you're viewing for the first time, welcome to another one of the Multiply Vineyard webinars. Today, we are talking about developing leaders in your church with Residency Plus. And we have two great panelists, Michael Gatlin and Raymond McDonald with us. Just to give us, before we introduce those guys, I'll just give a quick overview. We would love your interaction. So we're on our Zoom platform. You have a few buttons up there that you'll be able to see. The raise hand button, the Q&A button, and the chat window. If you just open your chat window right now and say hi and tell us where you're from. We got folks from California to Michigan, all over the country right now with us. We're excited to have you all here. And we love starting these out just by getting your interaction right away. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna share a poll with you. And if you just look there, our poll to start off is, are you joining today looking at the residency as a student wanting to develop as a leader or as a pastor wanting to develop leaders in your church? Based on our initial conversation with those who are in the room, it sounds like we have maybe more pastors here than students, but knowing we had a bunch of folks register, we saw a few folks who we thought might be students as well. As I let you guys click on that, I'm just going to introduce a couple of our presenters here. So we have Michael Gatlin, senior pastor at the Duluth Vineyard in Duluth, Minnesota, and also the national coordinator for Multiply Vineyard. Michael, welcome today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're excited to get to talk to you about what we're doing to really develop leaders. So I'm glad that you're here.
And we also have the Reverend Sleepy Ray, Raymond McDonald, senior pastor of the Conroe Vineyard in Conroe, Texas, and also a regional rep for Multiply Vineyard. So all about the South Central region down there. Raymond, how are you doing and how is Texas today?
Oh, Texas is hot, hot, hot. And we're doing wonderful down here because we're in the air conditioned.
Well, good to hear. As far as everybody who's on the poll, we have everybody who is here as a pastor or is thinking about it to develop leaders in their church. So we'll kind of steer our conversation towards that, knowing that you probably have leaders in your church that you might be able to draw in as students. And we'll be able to try to provide as much content and questions as we can. A little overview of our 60 minutes is we're going to be talking about why leadership development matters, and then how to kind of create a pathway for that, and what the residency program is really covering. And so, Michael, we'd love for you to start off and just dive right into this discussion here. Why does intentional investment for pastors, why is that a must? Why do we need to be doing this in our churches continually?
Yeah, that's a great question, Justin. I think, our churches are not going to kind of just magically reproduce by themselves. And it's the nature of the gospel, it's the nature of discipleship that this thing multiplies, that it reproduces. Jesus sent the disciples out to make disciples. And so it wasn't supposed to stop with the first generation. And it's definitely not supposed to stop with our generation. And so what I discovered in my own life is if I'm not purposefully investing in new leaders, especially in younger leaders, if I'm not rearranging my life to make room to purposefully invest in them, it's just not going to happen. And so really, since about we started Vineyard VLI, Vineyard Leadership Institute, back when it was first available to kind of start, you know, outside Columbus. I think that was like 98, 99. And we started doing that. And one of the things that you needed to do at that point was to do some mentoring with your students as the pastor. So it wasn't just all being brought to you from Columbus. The curriculum wasn't. You had to do some mentoring with preaching and teaching and evangelism and those things. So I started setting aside really about half a day on Saturday every other week just to hang out with those students and do the mentoring that was going on there. And honestly, I've just never stopped doing it. We've been setting aside pretty much every Saturday or every other Saturday since 1999 to really press into this. And so over the years, you know, I've had groups that I meet with for about a year at a time. And sometimes we've had 20 people in the group. Sometimes there's been three of us. And every single year, we've been able to actually raise up and most of the time send out a really good, healthy pastor or church planter from those investments. So I just think this is one of those things you have to purposefully invest in, that you've got to just, like, you know, do something. And what we've developed with residency is just kind of one of the things that you can use. But I don't know. I just find you have to purposefully do that. What do you think, Raymond?
Well, I'd say we went through the VLI or VLIAD as it was back in those days, and we did that mentoring as well. And to the point that when we weren't doing VLI, I started doing those classes that you just spoke about, but they seemed to be a little bit, you know, there wasn't enough full on going on there. So I really kind of quit doing it. But what I found out, there was people who in my church who were not getting mentored, and they're kind of like, they were like, because I'm this guy, just hang out with me, you know, and we'll have fun together and we'll mentor. But the truth is, I've got 8 kids at home, and that wasn't happening. So
that's a lot of mentoring right there.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Come around here. I can tell you how to yell at kids real good. And people weren't growing from that, strangely enough. But it was bad enough. But what I began to see when I met with you and we talked about residency and went into it, what I was shocked to find out was how many people signed up for us to do mentoring, to do residency. We had over 20 who signed up originally, and we got it down to about 20 when we started, which we're a 250 member church. So, and that brought people from a couple of other churches in too. And what it really hit me was that they had that same call that I had, that Holy Spirit yanking, where, you know, they're going to be a leader and they're going to find someone who will speak into their life. And someone who's going to lead them there. And so putting it on the schedule was imperative for me because, you know, got a lot of kids, got a lot going on. Nothing's going to happen other than maybe handing out some water to some people on a Saturday and those kind of things. But having said that, it's blessed me because they've not only signed up, they've really engaged. I've just had a joy in it myself just to hang out with them and see, to meet these people. Some of these people I didn't even see coming. So
And then year after year for me, it's like I've just decided I'm just going to keep this going. If I have 3 people or if I have 20, I'm just going to try it again and see kind of what comes up. And, you know, the first couple of years doing it, because maybe you haven't done it for a while, you get a whole bunch of people. But then I just find that other folks begin to self-identify and say, hey, I want to spend some time doing that. I want to press into that. And so that's really good. And almost, you know, most years it comes around like June, July, August. I think, I wonder if I'll have anybody that'll sign up this next year. Maybe this will be the year I don't do it. And sure enough, as we start talking about it, as we start inviting people into it, you get more people engaged in that.
Wow. If that's not a quotable from Raymond of a Holy Spirit yanking when those leaders just want to be poured into. And so there's a sense here, and I've heard you talk about this, Michael, that this is just part of the deal as leaders and leaders in community and church, that this is what you sign up for, is developing other leaders and pouring out. But I know that pouring out has a cost to it for you as a leader. What does it look like to count the cost as a leader in a church also raising up leaders?
Yeah, well, I'll name a couple things. I bet Raymond's got a couple as well. One of the things that costs is it always costs time. I mean, you have to set aside time to do this. And so, you know, over the years, there's been a lot of different things that I thought I might like to do with my Saturday mornings every other week than sit with this group. But the Holy Spirit always shows up and we're like doing cool stuff. And, you know, the whole time commitment thing, it's like, what else should I be doing with my time as a leader if it's not training and discipling people, especially other leaders? And in our context, in your context as a pastor in a local church, it's like, who else is going to do it if you're not doing it? There's nobody else that can carry the weight of that. And so it's one of the key things that we're called to, that we have to do. Another cost is the whole idea of being disappointed. It's like there's a whole bunch of people that you will pour into as a pastor, as a leader, who won't measure up to the potential that maybe you see in them or that they see in themselves. And so, like, there's a bunch of stuff like that that you're going to be disappointed in. When you're developing leaders, some of them are just not going to develop. They're not going to keep working or keep learning or keep pressing into areas in their life where they need to grow. And there's disappointment there. And I've had to relearn in this area to just hold people open-handedly. And wherever they're at in their relationship with the Lord right now, that's where they're at. And I just keep the invitation open, and I keep being willing to invest. But it's up to them to kind of step in there and do something with that. I can't live their lives for them. And, you know, so I constantly am going to God and giving my frustration or disappointments back to Him. I'm sure they're disappointed with me time to time as well. And then the last cost, you know, that I'll name right here is the cost of cleaning up messes. You know, when you get people engaged in leadership and they're beginning to do stuff, like, they're just going to create some messes for you that if you'd have done it by yourself, you wouldn't have had to create. And truthfully, it's always easier just to do something by yourself. But none of my kids would ever have learned to work on cars or change the oil in the car if I hadn't crawled into the car with them and let them create a mess on the floor. And so, in more than one way. So, yeah, counting the cost, there's some stuff there that you have to be willing to deal with.
Raymond, for you, what does that look like? You know, what's the extra cost that you've seen pressing into developing leaders?
Well, obviously, we set this on a Saturday so we'd have the time to do this. And believe me, just even the time when y'all told me it was going to be 4 hours, I was thinking, well, we won't make it 4 hours. We'll all go home early. The truth is, people just hang out and it goes beyond 4 hours. They'll stay to 4.5. Some people bring dinner and sit around and eat lunch together and everything. So at first, to me, it was the issue of my family, how much time I'm going to be away from them. But what's come out of that is these leaders are beginning to emerge and take things away from me so that cost isn't as much. I want to piggyback again on what Michael said about the cost of being disappointed. And I was. Right away, I had some disappointments. But what I found, it's better to get disappointed on the front end than pour in 4 years with somebody and find out that's not the person who really wanted to do that. They're not really wanting to do this. Our vineyard isn't their taste. And so every disappointment that I really have felt or thought was coming, I did, as Job, I did realize it came to pass. But in that, I've come to find out a freedom in it too. So it's been a blessing for me.
Yeah, that's really good. And I just think it's the thing that we're called to, right? It's 2 Timothy 2:2. You know, Paul says to Timothy, the things that you've heard me say and seen me do, you know, in the presence of lots of people, you take that and entrust that to reliable people who also be qualified to teach others. It's like, this is just what we're called to do. I didn't ever think it was an option to not do this. So just get pressing into it.
Well, welcome to a few more folks who have joined us. We have Jeff Bynum and Josu Hernandez, Kurt Best. We had a few folks just join us in the last little bit, Brian Jameson. Welcome, folks. We're glad that you're with us. And I just asked a question to everybody. What has been the most impactful form of training that you've engaged in as a developing leader? You know, we'd love to hear that from you. We'd love to keep the conversation going as we continue to talk here about the residency program. And really what it is it's taking all the weight off the shoulders of the pastor to decide where are we going with this stuff and allowing for, like what Raymond said there, to just walk in and set up some time on a Saturday morning. And it turns into Saturday lunch and dinner sometimes because those leaders want so much of time together and being developed. One thing that, Raymond, you talked about was a little bit of that tension of, well, what is it actually going to look like? What is it? How does it play out? And we know a lot of folks have that feeling. And so one resource I'm going to send over for folks is just this audio recording. So you can click that and download it. It's an audio from Michael leading the residency session one here in Duluth. Michael, what do you cover during that first session? Give them a little preview of what they would listen to there.
Well, that whole first quarter is all about spiritual formation. It's about really getting in touch with God's love in a deep, practical, super meaningful way. Most people in our churches, most of our leaders would say, oh yeah, I know God loves me. But then a lot of the ways that we lead that are broken, a lot of the ways that we lead that are not helpful are because we don't have the love of God that has so permeated our souls in such a way that we become different people. And the way that we interact with everybody is different. So that whole first session, did you record like the whole thing? Is that like all 4 hours of it you're giving people the link to?
The content there, it's about 2 hours. It's really more of the teaching.
Wow.
And then all the book discussion and prayer time at the end, we cut that off because we know Vineyard folks know what good prayer ministry is.
Man, I can't picture 4-hour recording. I would like, that'd be painful.
You run through that couple hours. It's great.
Yeah,
people will love it.
Oh man, so that's like the first session right there. So you get a picture of what that's like.
So let's take a look at now going from just kind of this desire to set up leadership in your church, and if you've logged on, you probably either have something for that or you're interested in joining for that. We want to talk a little bit about what developing leaders must learn. So Michael, as you think about developing leaders, what are the key things that you cover with them every time as they go through this?
Yeah, right. So let me kind of put this in perspective a little bit. What we wanted to do was we wanted to create for Multiply Vineyard, just take what we were doing, because people had said, man, I would do that if I had some way to think about how to do that. So we wanted to just take the stuff that I've been doing over the past few years and just make it accessible to other folks. And then we took the core competencies of a good church planter, and then we kind of broke those things down in a little bit different way. And then when I teach it, when I go through this here in our place, like I just invite people, anybody that wants to kind of grow as a leader that I see some real solid leadership potential with, that I want to hang out with for every other Saturday for about 4 hours, you know. And now it's like 5 Saturdays per quarter. So it's not every other, it's eased up a bit. And so that's where the competencies come from. And while we talk about church planting, this really is for anybody who wants to grow and develop as a leader. And so I just change the language a little bit from time to time as we walk through that with people. My hope, my goal in the whole deal is that we're presenting what we're doing, but then pastors around the movement and throughout the country will add some of their stuff, and we'll be able to make this thing together. We can make it way better than what I just put out there to get the ball rolling. Does that make sense? I just want to make it way better along the way. So it's not just, you know, Gatlin stuff and Duluth stuff, but we can all add to it and make it better. The 8 core competencies that we're looking to raise up fall in the categories of vital spirituality and then leadership ability and kingdom theology, the distinctives of the vineyard. There are our healthy relationships, kind of our mission that we're on together, evangelism and discipleship. It's our preaching and teaching, and then it's all the church systems and structure. And so those are like the core competencies that we're pressing into. As we're going through like a 4 completely different quarters that aim at those things in some different ways. So that's what they all are. Thanks for putting those on the screen, Justin.
Yeah, no problem. And Terry is asking, will I be able to click on the link after this? And yes, you will. I'll be sending you a link with all this stuff. So click on it now if you'd like. If you just want to listen on and things like that, we'll make sure that in your email to everybody, you'll be getting all these resources after the fact. So Mr. Hernandez, you're saying, how long is that training for? So we've talked about 4 hours. We've talked about different programs. We'll be talking about that a little more in our next session, but just kind of as a snapshot, it's a 12-month leadership program that's broken up into 4 different quarters through Vineyard Institute. All of those quarters are about 10 weeks long, and then the pastors meet with their students 5 times in those 10 weeks. So Raymond, reflect for us on just kind of how it's been to be in that rhythm of every few weeks getting to meet with your students.
Well, that's been awesome because, I mean, really, there's just a chat group to just constantly, my phone dings all the time because they're just chatting amongst each other all the time. And what has grown between those future leaders, already leaders, has been fantastic. And they're always drawing me in. So that's been cool to have all that discussion. And for me, you know, just doing the residency, if I can just throw in there, has been awesome because I get to share so much of myself with them. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I mean, the main thing is like I said, we just start talking about stuff. We go over these books, we start sharing with each other. The prayer time, that first one to talk about is, as Michael said, you know, everyone knows God loves them. But then you go into that class and people are just crying and weeping. You're going, I thought everyone knew God loved them. Well, if they didn't understand it to the depth, and I've just been knocked out how much they receive, how much I receive from it myself, because I've had to form it my thoughts. Ministry principles and values have become more into form as I've talked with these guys. I hear them quoting my little sayings back and forth to each other. I like that. I like them quoting me a lot. That makes me happy. but I mean, that's been the thing. This rhythm has turned into a real community amongst the leaders, and then their heart for evangelism has grown to bring other people in. And there, can I, you know, we want to invite our friends next time, get them out there, get going. So I've really enjoyed it. It's been the highlight of our church this last year. It's been fantastic.
And Raymond, something I love about that is it's not just you kind of creating the pastor's book club. What you just said there was it's intentionally pressing in, and then what that does is they're more connected in the church, they're more connected in the community missionally. Mm-hmm. And I think that really ties into, Michael, how you've talked about the hope for the learning the whole time, that it's not just in knowing in our heads.
Yeah.
Talk that for a minute with us.
Yeah, so when I was meeting with Chris Miller, also a good Texas guy, and we were talking about training and developing leaders, and I've seen this spelled out in different ways, but what we did is we actually went through and took a look at everything that we're doing and broke it into kind of the Venn diagram of knowing, being, and doing. And so we want to help people address issues of the head. We want to provide really good theological education and training, really good leadership education, you know, the passing on of knowledge. We want to know how certain stuff works. But we also want to address issues of the heart. That's the being, that we want to really give people an opportunity to take what we know, for instance, about God's love, and let that really go deep into our souls, that it begins to transform who we are. So spiritual formation is a really big piece of good leadership development. And then also, thirdly, the practical hands-on doing of the ministry. Like if you don't have opportunity to really press in and hear and see and do what we're talking about, then you don't get the opportunity to actually really live that out in a good way. And so the doing of it is also like a huge big deal. So I like that knowing, being, doing, keeping that kind of like in that Venn diagram kind of in my mind as we're doing all the ministry, so that we don't, and all of us probably lean towards one way or the other of doing it more. And so really trying to help develop really balanced leaders in terms of how we're training them is, I find it really hugely important.
Thanks, Michael. And Raymond, you had responded to a question we had that came in. And this is a little bit about kind of discernment of what are our leaders pointing towards as they're developing and knowing, being, and doing. The question was, any experience in applying this to missions? How do you develop leaders that you don't have near you and only see a few times a year? Raymond, what's been your experience with that? And Michael, maybe you can respond after that as well.
Well, first of all, I've had this experience as a vineyard coach, as I meet with people we've planted down in Latin America. But what I want to share with this is that when we do our residency here in Conroe, is we use the Zoom stuff that we're using right now to actually record what we're doing, and then people can actually log in and we can do it live and we record the whole thing. So I can see that you could do this in doing mission leadership, by sitting back and just having them log in and going through these things the same way. I think it'd be just as valid. You wouldn't be in you wouldn't be there in the same room with them, but it feels very much that same way. And so I think that would work fantastically. And I also want to add on something what Michael was trying to say in regard to the being and doing and just this kind of element that is there. And I like to tell, just use a little metaphor. When I was in my 20s, I moved to California to study music. And when I got there, I was around musicians, professional musicians, and I got to hang out with them. And I wasn't up on stage with them because they were on the big stage, but I could hang out with them. And something happened to me. I began to think that I was a musician, and I began to think like a musician. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I played any. I began to play better, but I mean, I didn't get better right away. And when you're hanging out with people, one of the things that I've seen with my people in my group is going to the webinars. Again, that's similar to what you're talking about with the missions thing. They're not right in the room with Michael and whoever's with, but they're in this webinar and they're hearing these people talk, and they begin to feel like they're pastors. They begin to feel like they're leaders just by being in the room and getting to get involved in the conversation. And I see how this would work tremendous with missions leaders. Great question. And also just wanted to weigh in a little bit of the being and doing, knowing and all that there in that way.
That's really great.
Michael, as you see that, you know, maybe a thought on the impact of this. I know we talk a little bit about we get to see how deeply it goes by how much it's given away, by kind of as they're discipled in it, and then it goes even further, they're making disciples, and maybe they're creating a disciple-making environment. You know, I know you've talked a lot about that. Maybe that'd be helpful to hear as well.
Yeah, what do we call that? Is that like our rubric? Is that what that is?
That's our rubric.
Sweet. I get working in the educational world like this with Justin, I get to hear, learn like all these cool new words. So this is a great illustration of kind of what I'm talking about as I'm trying to develop leaders. So if you take something like vital spirituality or really knowing God's love, the first thing that we're going to do is I'm working with the actual person, the disciple, the up-and-coming leader, and we're working at getting them to understand, like, what does the Bible actually say about God's love and about how deeply you loved? Then we press that into the being. Then we press that into the doing, as I talked about a little bit. The next thing I want to know is not only are they getting it themselves in each of those areas, but can they actually disciple other people? And so right away in the residency program, within the first few weeks, we assigned them the responsibility to go out and begin to disciple others in the stuff that they're learning, and to go find people that will meet with them the same way they're meeting with me and begin to pass this stuff along. And then along the way, what I want to do is I want to know who those people are that they're discipling, and I actually go just informally interview them. I just ask them some questions, maybe as I see them on a weekend service, and I want to see, are they beginning to know it? Right? Do they understand how much God loves them? Are they able to actually express how that's permeating their soul, and how are they actually walking that out? The second thing, so I want to know like how they're doing at disciple making. The second thing I want to know is, or third thing is how they're doing at creating an environment that does that. Like if I go to the small group that they lead, does the small group get this thing? Is the small group, when I show up, able to express that? Are they able to talk about knowing God's love, and that it's kind of gotten deep within them in a way that's really impactful? And then the last thing, if they're going to actually be a pastor, if they're going to be a church planner, they've got to be able to create not just an environment in a small group, but oversee multiple environments, multiple small groups where the same thing is going on. Then you know that you've done that 2 Timothy 2:2. You're not just passed it on to somebody, but you're passing it on to somebody who is now able to teach other people and even able to oversee in environments where that's going on. When you see that, then like your job is done in kind of raising up a leader, getting a leader ready to go. So that all of a sudden makes it really a whole lot bigger than just me sitting with somebody hanging out over coffee and hope that they get some of this stuff.
Yeah, I love how practical that's kind of an example of, well, if we're going to be assessing learning, it's not just going to be through reflection papers and quizzes. It's going to be how it's playing out in their lives and then the church. I think that's really good. I just sent over a question to everybody. Kind of what questions do you have about any of this content of kind of where we're going or how we're getting there? We would love to hear those questions from you. And as we're hearing those questions, I want to go to Raymond. Raymond, what's the difference that you've seen between the Residency Plus program and then a different degree in BI? So if you're, let's say, doing the Biblical Leadership program in BI versus the Residency program, what's the difference been from your vantage point?
Well, we've done VI, VLI, VLIAD, as it's been in this church since 15 years ago, and I am a graduate. So, of something, for crying out loud. And about a quarter or more of the group I have already graduated 2-year course with VI. And so I didn't think they would sign up for residency because I thought they'd figure they had it all. But they've taken it. And one thing I've asked them, I'm always asking, are you getting something out of this? Because you already took VI. And they go, absolutely. This is completely different. And I said, and I've asked, how is it completely different? Well, the time we're spending with you is so much more. This is harder. I go, how can this be harder? You don't even take tests. You know, I go, well, no, it just, because it really makes us think. It makes us think about what it means to be a leader. And we really feel like we're getting involved in leadership in the church more through this class. So that's one of the things I've asked a lot in that way. And you won't see as much, again, biblical exegesis, certainly in residency, because it's geared more towards a leadership curriculum. And so I like to see students still take something that's biblical oriented to learn how to exegete and those kind of things. Yeah. But that's not its import right now. Like I said, Michael's asking for things coming in. Those things may change. But as long as we're part of VI, I would assume that we're going to be developing leaders and allow whatever they're doing to do that. But that's the way I see it. I think both work together hand in hand. I like to see people do them both. And those who haven't taken VI, who are taking residency right now, I think they're probably going to come back and go, I want to take VI now. I want to go a little more in that way too. So that's what I see.
Yeah, that's really good. And I've got students that take sometimes one or two VI courses per quarter while they're doing residency. So they're getting the biblical exegesis. They're getting those things. So these things don't compete against one another. They're actually designed to really work together well, like just like what you described. That's good.
Yeah. And so we're talking about courses here. You know, we're talking about these courses that we're going into. Michael, I'd love for you to just share, you know, if folks sign up for this, what are these four courses that they dive into for a year? And let's unpack them just for a little bit.
Yeah, so the first course, and they're spoken of as courses. For me, each one is one quarter throughout the whole year. So for the first quarter, what I want to do is I want to press into spiritual formation. I want to make sure that we've got the self-awareness of what's really going on in our lives. We understand kind of who we are. We understand who God is, and we're really allowing Him to impact us at a pretty deep level. And so I've been super impacted over the last few years as I've worked with a spiritual director from time to time, as I've brought into somebody to actually maybe even go through some of the initial Ignatian exercises with some of our staff. I have found that every year I learn about God's love in a deeper way, and it really does transform the way that I live my life, the way that I'm a husband, the way that I'm a father, the way I'm a pastor, the way I'm a friend to other people. It really transformed me. And so that's the first quarter, is we're really pressing into that and learning about God and His love, learning about who He is, and really learning about who we are. So we do a bunch of personality things. We talk about everything from DISC and Strength Finders and Myers-Briggs down to the Enneagram, you know, our core sin issues. So it's like really, really good, helpful stuff with the first quarter. Yeah. Do you want me to go further, or do you want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah,
let's. What are you laughing at, Raven?
I just, the core sin issues. I mean, that once I got to that, it was hard to keep going. So I had to, you know, remember as a pastor, you're going through all this stuff too. So
yeah, I know.
Oh man, I think the first time I read through the Enneagram, I put it on my shelf. I backed out of my room. I kept my eye on it. I turned off the light. I closed my office door, and I go, man, am I embarrassed about what I just discovered about myself. This is awesome.
So it is some really good stuff. And I know our students have expressed that as well, that doing that self-assessment and that formation first, really, it colors the rest of the courses, because in a sense, you never should be leaving spiritual formation behind to go do ministry. It always needs to be with you. Michael, after that first quarter, where do they go? And I'm going to share the screen here just to kind of give the pathway for folks.
Yeah, so the second quarter is really all about our Vineyard vision and values, the vision and values of leadership and ministry in the New Testament. And we also talk a little bit about vision and values for being on mission, for church planting, for why do we reproduce our church? Why do we reproduce leadership? And so everybody comes at life having like some vision and values, whether they're clearly articulated or whether we're stumbling along. We have ways that we're making decisions and doing stuff. As a Vineyard movement, we have very distinctive vision and values when you compare us to some of the other church movements, other denominations in the U.S. and around the world. And we have lots of things that we share in common. And so we just want to articulate those. We want to really get good at talking about those. As we plant churches, we want to reproduce Vineyard churches. As we raise up leaders here in our church, we want to raise up leaders with very distinctive vision and values. And so we just want opportunity to talk about that, to dialogue about that, to really press into that. So that's the second quarter. The third quarter, course three, is really all about kind of the main things that we're supposed to be doing as a church. And it's evangelism, discipleship, which to me is like one whole continuum. How are we connecting, introducing people to who Jesus is, to who God is, helping get them connected there, and then really helping them grow as a follower of Jesus throughout their whole life. And so we talk in detail about what that involves, and we look at different models for that, how we could go about doing that. And then lastly, it's the really the practical concerns of doing church. And there's a whole lot of practical concerns, from budgets to preaching and teaching to, like, my mind went blank, all the different kinds of ministry that we're doing, children's ministry and youth ministry, weddings and funerals. It's like all the different kinds of things that leaders are involved in. We take some time to unpack and talk about so that if somebody were to do this, maybe a short internship and go out and plant a church, they at least know where to find all the tools that they're going to need to carry that out. So we try to make all that like super, super practical.
And as you look at this here, Michael, you know, it's kind of, we give it to you in this smorgasbord of lots of different ways. So there's some key readings, there's some videos to intro the topics, as well as some teaching notes, some recorded webinars specifically for that quarter, and then some live webinars that they get to be a part of. And Raymond, you mentioned, have been really, really impactful for your students, along with Church Planner Intensive. So some lots of curriculum that they can walk through. Raymond, I'd love to hear, what's it been like actually engaging with these courses in the local church and having all these resources at your disposal?
Well, first of all, I think what has been exciting is a lot of my students, when we go through something, as you know, anything you read or hear finds its way into your sermon come on Sunday. It's always coming out, and they'll, man, we find it exciting that what we're all reading together, we hear it in the sermon, we get excited because we were part of that whole discussion with you, and they feel like they're being represented on Sunday and those kind of things. But for me, you're learning as well. Anytime you're teaching, and certainly and presenting material, you're learning as well. And if you already know it, it's helping you, again, foment those thoughts, become stronger on your ministry principles and on your own personal values. And that's been exciting for me in that way. Again, for me also, one of the things that's been exciting is, as I teach these guys, I trust them. And I think Michael said we go through those values, because everyone knows in your church what it's like to give leadership away, because you got to have time. You got to make more time. And as you give it away, then you know, you find these people operating in different principles than you have. And so when you do this, you trust giving them away. You trust giving the sheep away to someone else, because they've sat with you and you've had your discussions with them. You know where they're not jibing with you, when they're down with you. And for me, that's been exciting too, is to have more people who are empowered to play, who can get out there, because what I thought would take time is giving more time and leaders I can trust. And for me also, just to see people I never would have thought would be in leadership to come forward and say, yeah, I want to take that class. And you're like, you want to take that class? Didn't you just get out of prison? Didn't you? I don't have someone who just got out of prison, but I had a girl who showed up who had been through a couple of bad marriages, was in AA. And so her life was not that she was in AA and that was her issue, but she just had a tough life. And she came in and began to kind of poke her nose into it. And I said, yeah, come on in. She's become our star student. She is a great leader in our church. I had no idea she was as gifted as she was. She had just been through a bad time. And she's so blessed to be given this opportunity to lead, that she is tremendously moving forward and giving so much of her life. And then for me to even, I didn't have time to administrate this thing. So I pulled up a young leader and said, hey, if you'll administrate everything for me, I'll teach you how to administrate. I'll put you with my administrator, and I'll pay your way to go through the course. And this has given me another star student as a leader, and made it easy for me, because I'm really just, I kind of like to just show up and have the light turned on and do it. I learned this from Michael. He does it with Justin. So that's what I was like. I need Justin, you know. So.
I'm honored that you'd say that, Raymond. So as we go, let's dial in just even a little bit more. I just shared a resource for everybody. It's our program overview. So it's all the stuff we talked about, and then a snapshot of each quarter and each course. It's going to give you just a look at the books that are offered. It's going to give you, you know, some of the topics that we're going through and a few of the resources that are included in the program. To go even further with that, we want to show you Well, what does it actually look like as a student or as a pastor when you arrive? If you sign in to Vineyard Institute, if you're a student, this is what your course would look like. Starting off would be the formation of the inner life. And David, we're going to get to your question right now just in a second, because I want Michael to talk about this a little bit. But as students get here, it's very much a great online learning curriculum. They have their syllabus, they have their learning outcomes, and then they get some introductory videos on where are we headed in this course, where are we going. And people will see the books that we're going to be reading, and then they dive into session one. And you as the pastor get to decide when does this happen? When does it fit for us in our church schedule and in our rhythms? And then you're given an outline. Here's some teaching outlines. Michael, break down a little bit of what does that 4 hours tend to look like? How do you parse out what, you know, the readings and the teaching and the prayer ministry?
Yeah, so we usually spend about an hour going over what we've read. And so any of the assigned readings that are there, you know, we spend about an hour talking about it and sharing thoughts and ideas and pressing in. I like to ask the students for permission to kind of challenge them deeply in their lives. And so I said, I'm gonna lean into you. I'm gonna challenge you. And like, you know, by being here, you're giving me permission to do that. So I ask them like what they don't like about the reading. And then I kind of press into like, well, why maybe don't you like that? And, you know, in one of the recent sessions where we went through this first quarter, there was a gal who just said, man, I don't like all this, like, God loves me talk, you know, from Song of Solomon and on all this kind of stuff. It just feels too sappy. And I just don't like that kind of talk at all about anything. And as we kind of leaned in and pressed in, she was crying pretty good as she was realizing the whole reason that she had pushed that aspect of God's nature and character out of her life was because of past experience, and past experience, especially with parents and you know, most profoundly with her dad, that she had kind of closed herself off to that. And because of that, she had a demeanor about her leadership that tended to be a little bit hard-edged. You know, she's like a college athlete. And so there's, you know, lots of stuff that went into that, but it's pretty cool as you're pressing into that. And then nextly, there's a session outline, notes that we'll cover that are really, I spend about another hour, hour and a half on that, really pressing into like, here's our notes. Sometimes I guess that's a couple hours. And then the last hour is really, we try to spend time really praying and thinking through and then praying for one another, like, you know, ministry time and leaning into that. So I generally like it roughly try to keep sessions kind of aimed in that direction.
And Michael, David had a question. He says, briefly say something about experiencing God loves in terms of thinking, please, in terms of the knowing. So if we're really about this knowing, being, and doing, feels like God's love might hit being and doing very obviously. What about thinking? What are the ways that we study and learn about that in this session?
Well, I think of two different streams, like in terms of that specific question. So in terms of knowing God's love, in terms of thinking about it, like you have to know what the scriptures say about it. And so rather than just John 3:16, like what do the scriptures really say about God's love? So like, for instance, like there's a really basic truth that we've taught a lot in our church, that there is nothing you can do to make God love you more, because his love has never been based on what you do. So where does that come from in the scriptures? How do you get that? So, you know, part of it I think of is the knowledge base. And then the other part of that is actually interacting with God in your mind, in thinking. And so like as you're, and this begins to lead right into the being part, but as you're studying theology, it's like the fact that God allows himself to be known, you know, theologically and in our minds is evidence of his deep, deep love for us. And so, you know, Christianity is a revealed religion. God has revealed himself to us. So the fact that we have minds that can think and study and learn this stuff, like, you know, that's evidence of God's love. And so I think of it in those two realms. So one realm is the, you know, building up the theological knowledge. The other realm is the fact that we are thinkers, and the fact that we pursue God with our thinking is evidence of his love because of the way that he's revealed himself for us. So I hope that answers your question a little bit, David.
Thanks, Michael. And just a question for everybody. What other questions do you have about running the program? We'd love to hear them. Shoot them in the chat window there. And as we do that, reminder that I did send over that program overview. You're going to be getting that in your email as well. So you can take a look at all that stuff. And really, it goes through in fairly good detail what you're all signing up for. You know, what it takes for a student to get through it. Raymond, we would love to hear as well. You know, I've heard you talk about how working with students and developing these leaders has sort of in some ways taken some weight off your shoulders because you have better trained leaders around you. How's that played out now that you're a few quarters in and you have a few learning leaders with you?
Well, it's working well. Again, there's the setbacks that come because in leadership we always jump in and hit a wall and come back. But when you've, again, all of us, for me, are going to be that way. I had a vision of I was at a red light one day and I had a vision of a V8 engine. I used to rebuild cars and I'm sitting there at the light going, why are you showing me this V8 engine, God? And he said, because when four cylinders are up, four cylinders are down and you need downtime. You got to be able to have work going on when you're taking time off and you need to develop leaders. So developing leaders became a key to me at that time in my life because I realized I never could go down and get air so we could have compression to have anything happening. And so when I see these leaders engaging, I'm okay with some of them being down because I know some are hitting their stride right about that time. And the more that come in, the more who are trained, have allowed me to, again, that trust, as I've said, to sit back and say, y'all guys have it. It's fantastic. You just take care of it. And to see them overjoyed to be able to be trusted and to do something, and their buy-in of the church is more. Their buy-in of people is more. And their desire to pastor is richer. And people are getting better pastoring because, like I said, got 8 kids at home. I can't do it all. So that's what I would kind of share with them.
Yeah, that's good.
So folks, we would love to, you know, again, hear any questions. If you're starting to think, you know, this sounds okay, what we want to do is we just want to provide kind of the next steps. We want to provide all of the onboarding for you. Whenever we hear of any pastors who want to jump on, they just fill out a little link on the website. It takes them to our VI page. And we just help them out along the way. So what that is usually I'm walking it through with them. If you have any questions, if you have any support needs, I can help with that. A lot of our pastors want to see the curriculum on the front end. I was just talking with Jeff Bynum this week about that. Hey, what does it look like? I want to prepare. I want to be ahead of my students as we're doing that. And so I'll try to get Jeff everything he can so that he can start reading those books soon. He can get things going. And that's really something that I think hopefully for pastors, they feel like they're supported in the process. The link for that, I'm going to send over to you right now in case you do want to apply. That's going to be in your chat window here. And then there's also the student application link. If you know a few leaders and you're thinking, you know what, let's get moving on this, you can send them that. Again, these will be in your inbox later. And so much of that is we want to set up this summer as this time of preparation. We want to give you opportunity to prepare ahead of time. Because like Michael said, this time around, this time of year, you're often thinking, I wonder if anybody's going to join me for this. Michael, how have you kind of cast the net out to the church, to leaders in your area? You know, who do you pinpoint and then who do you just throw out the invite to?
Yeah, so what I do is, this is not the kind of thing I would announce on a weekend. We have, you know, way too many people here on a weekend to get to spend time with. But I talk to our current leaders and I say, hey, who do you think would be good for this? Here's what we're doing. And then I just really pray as I think about and pray through the folks that attend our church and just ask God to highlight folks that this might be a good fit for. And some of the folks I've talked to, they're like, why are you talking to me? You know, they get kind of freaked out about it. And others of them, you know, like, I was waiting for you to notice, you know. And so, like, you know, you get the whole spectrum there. But, like, I just you know, pray about it. And then I just begin to invite people. And I throw the net, as I said before, pretty wide just so I can, like, get quite a few people that are really thinking about it and praying about it. And then I kind of let it get whittled down based on who has time and energy. I've always been surprised, as Raymond was talking about, I've always been surprised by some people who take it and they become like the best leaders. They become our best students doing this, but they also become really great leaders. And I wouldn't have necessarily picked them out of a lineup just like Samuel didn't pick young King David out of the lineup, I wouldn't necessarily have picked them out. And so to be the, you know, the ones that would really excel in this. Let me just also add that I don't think this is like the best thing ever. I think this is a really good, useful tool. I think it's most important that we as pastors are doing something intentional to train up our leaders. And so if you've got something that you're doing that you really like, God bless you. Just keep doing that. If you want to try this, man, just jump into it. We're not trying to sell you something you don't need. And then if you want to do this and you want to help make it better, we would love that. And so, again, we don't feel like we've got the end-all, be-all right here, but we're just trying to put something else out there for Vineyard pastors to help you specifically train up the leaders and spend time with them that you want to spend with them. So there you go. That's what I got.
Thanks, Michael. And just a reminder again for just a few of the dates. You know, if you are looking at this, our application date for students is actually the first thing coming up. That's going to be in August, about 5 weeks away. So if you're the pastor, you know, we would love for you to, you know, over the next few weeks, think about applying with us, talking to us, talking more about it, asking any questions you have. And then the quarter starts in mid-September. So we want to have all students kind of signed up by then. And I think one thing to mention is we've had pastors do this with as little as one student. We just have somebody who really is ready to get developed more. They maybe know they're interested in church planting, or it's a church plant. And they're like, you know what? We just have a key leader who we want to be pouring into. And we've had it as big as 17, 20 students in this really big setting, like Raymond just was an example of. So I think don't feel like this is an impossible thing if you're a church plant or if your church is smaller. The hope is that it fits for all church sizes. And like Michael said, it's not the only thing out there, but it's one that we really think is valuable. Also, we want to make you aware, if you want to jump on to another webinar with us, we have a great webinar coming up at the end of the month. This is July 28th, Raising Up Women Leaders, and that's going to be with Jamie and Michelle Wilson, regional leaders of the Southern California region. They're just tremendous folks, and we would love to see you there. So register at multiplyvineyard.org/events, or I added the link right in the chat window, so you can click there and register for that one. And also, we have the Vineyard National Ethnic Diversity Conference coming up in November. We would love for you to put that on your calendar right now. We would love for you to register for that. We want to keep talking about this in the Vineyard, just as we have been. And we know, as we look in our world, that this is something that is being lamented and wrestled with, of how is the church going to respond to a world that is really separated on ethnic diversity, and how do we do that well? And so that's going to be happening at the Evanston Vineyard just outside of Chicago with some great leaders from around the Vineyard. We'd love to have you join for that. Thanks again, folks, for being here with us today. We're going to wrap up with some prayer from Raymond. But thank you again, Michael, for spending some time with us, for casting some vision, and for really stewarding this program and wrestling through it for years and years and years to make it what it is right now.
Yeah. Well, thanks, everybody, for being a part of this. It's great to get to spend a little time with you today.
And Raymond, thanks for training leaders in your church down there in Texas. We're so glad that you've been able to kind of be our color commentary guy today and provide the examples. What does it look like in the church?
Well, it's looking good here. We're lacking it a whole lot. So
that's awesome.
Wonderful. Well, Raymond, would you just pray for us as we close? And we thanks again for everybody being here.
Yeah, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to do the things that you've called us to do. We know so many people have been called and haven't had those opportunities. So we thank you that as pastors, we have that. And Lord, we thank you for the people you brought in our lives. And we don't want to look past them. We in no way, Heavenly Father, want to forget that you've called them into the setting to which we are now leading. So we ask that you would just come and give us wisdom. Come and give us the, Lord, the direction and how to use the opportunities that we have in order to touch those lives that are there. And we ask that, Lord, you will bless us, bless our churches, even as we move forward in saying yes to you and joining your yes with our yes. We ask it in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you guys so much.